Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Chof Gimel, and we're holding on daf Chof Beis Amud Beis. So yesterday, we ended up with a machlokas between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah, and the Rabbanan about whether there are two separate Isurim about an achot, one which would be an achot that is also not only your father's daughter, but also your mother's daughter from an actual wife. And that is one set of psukim in which we have bat avicha, bat imecha, and that is the talking about bat eshet avicha. So really we ended up, and this is how we paskin, by the way, that you actually could get two separate malkias for the what you think is the same iser, but which isn't. One is ervat achotcha, bat avicha, or bat imecha, and this is moledet bayit or moledet chutz, where it's not related through a married woman, but you're related through a casual relationship, you and the sister. And the other one is Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha Maledet Avicha Achotcha Hi. So that's how we paskin. But Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yudah said that the very meaning of Achotcha Hi is to tell me that that's not true, that there's only one idea of Achotcha, and this is Achotcha, not an additional Chiyav. So according to him, this is where we're up to today. According to him, we have that posik of bat eshet avicha, if it's not adding a new iser. So what is it basically doing at all? That's what the Gemara wants to know today. And therefore, we ask today, eight lines up from the bottom, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah, hi bat eshet avicha, my avidle. What does he do with that posik of bat eshet avicha? Well, he learns that that is coming to tell me a fascinating chiddush, namely that mi sheyeshlo ishut la'avicha ba, prat la'achotah mishivcha va'avedet kochavim she'ein ishut la'avicha ba. So that's Kufa coming to tell me that it needs to be someone that has a concept, at least, of marriage. So it would have been possible for your father to have been married if he had wanted to marry her. So the fact that he had a casual relationship with her is not really relevant, but if he could not have married her, even if he wanted to, and that would be if she were a shivcha or she were a goya, so then it's not possible for him to marry her. That's what it's coming to talk about. It's talking about the theoretical possibility, and it's coming to add that unless there is a theoretical possibility of marriage, so then she isn't your sister because we don't have any connection, even though the biological connection is the same. However, the din of the lack of chiyus to the shivcha, or the specific idea that we go batar ha'em when it comes to the goyim, means that she is not really your sister. And if she becomes Jewish, it would be kekatan hanolat, so would not have a din of your sister. Asks the Gemara, now, but how do you know that that's what it means, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah? Maybe it means that it is only if your father were actually married to the woman. I mean, and not that he could have been, but actually was. So then that would be that if you are related to this sister, because both of you were illegitimate and were born from the same relationship between the man who is your father and the woman who is your mother, so then maybe it's to tell me that even that is not included because it's not considered to be achotcha, and it's only where it's bat eshet avicha. I mean, once you, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah, are willing to say that it's all one iser, and that the pasuk is coming to explain the other iser, and that the explanation is that when it says bat eshet avicha, it means the potential eshet avicha as opposed to a goya. Well, what makes you say that? Maybe it's not talking about potential. Maybe it's talking about actual. The pasuk is coming along to say, by the way, when I was talking about your sister, I meant that she is your father's wife's daughter, and not that you're both illegitimate children of the same guy. So I'm like, where do you jump to conclusions to go all the way to the extreme that it means it's not even possible to have Ishut? That's the question. No, you can't possibly say that, says Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah, because I know from elsewhere that the relationship that is what you call illegitimate children is irrelevant, because I know that from Rava, because Rava points out that there seems to be a contradiction in the psukim. Now, we spoke about this yesterday, that there's two places. one of which that has to do here with defining your sister in terms of the Isser Erva. And then the other contradiction where the Psukim seem to be talking about two different cases is where we're talking about a grandchild who could be the Isha Ubita or who could be Bat Bitcha or Bat Bincha. Now, those are two completely different things. We have exactly the same question that we have over here. And in fact, when it came to that issue, Rava pointed out that there seems to be a contradiction over here. Because one of the psukim says, Ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha lo tigale. So don't sleep with your granddaughter, your granddaughter. So that means it's a function of it's been your genes. But, I mean, that's making it quite clear, isn't it? That if it were only your wife's daughter, granddaughter, or your wife's granddaughter, that would be okay. And yet, on the other hand, the other pasuk says, Ervat isha ubita lo tigale et bat benav et bat bita. Now, what's going on over here? Now, on the one hand, the Torah is saying, don't worry if it's not your own child, it's not your own genes, if it's your granddaughter, that's not a real granddaughter, and there's no Isser of Erva. And on the other hand, it says, Beferush, if it's your step-granddaughter, you have no genetic issues in common with her, nonetheless, she's the daughter of the daughter of your wife or of the son of your wife, then you're not allowed to take her. So, okay, son. So we already established in the Pasuk that there's, as Rava explained, that it's two different cases. The Ervat bat pincha lo tegaleh, that is true, but that's talking about a casual relationship where you were not married to the woman that you had this child with. So over there, the diuk is correct. Bat bina, that the woman that you have a casual relationship with, or she's a rape victim, whatever the story is, if she has a daughter, the fact that you've been sleeping with her is irrelevant. And you can still marry the descendants of that woman because she's not your wife. So if she has a daughter from another guy who's not your own daughter, then in fact there would be no Isser. And the Pasuk means exactly what it's saying. But in a case where it wasn't from Onasim, remember we use the word Onasim to refer to any non-marital relationship. It doesn't mean necessarily rape. We've been doing that just to keep things easy in terms of making it clear what the difference is. So, fine. If, however, we're talking about a bino min ha'onasim, if it's your own son, so then it has all of the halachas, and that daughter or granddaughter is all considered to be your own, despite the fact that the relationship that spawned this individual was not a marital relationship. So then if that's true, we see from Rava that the marital relationship does not matter when it comes to shared genealogy. And if that's true, how could I say that the meaning over here is that she's not considered to be your sister if you, even though you had the same mother and the same father, but you didn't have marriage? That's not true. We know that marriage is not important in defining these arayas. We just proved it from that other pasuk. Now, see how beautiful that is, that this is, that the two psukim that offer us two different scenarios of erva, one that has to do with sisterhood and one that has to do with children and the grandchildren, and that relationship are actually utilized. Both of them have these two faces to them, and we're utilizing, according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, one to define the other. So first we establish the idea that genealogy is what counts, and then we talk about the question of the need to be able to marry as a theory, and then that it means that the only case where she's not your sister is where the shared genealogy involves a goya or a shifcha. But in any other event, the question of marriage is irrelevant. So it's a theoretical possibility of marriage. Well, wait a minute, says the Gemara. I mean, that's all very nice. It's true. Kan be onasim ve kan be nisuin. However, there's still another option. Because, I mean, maybe the idea would be that wherever the Torah prohibited the marriage, maybe that's what it's coming to tell me. In other words, where you are, yes, married or not married, I understand. That's not important. And you're claiming, however, that what it means is that you need to be theoretically able to be married, and therefore would only exclude a goyim, right? Now, I don't understand why you go all the way to the extreme. I mean, there's certainly steps in the middle. We have an impossibility of marriage at all. That's the case of the goyim. Then we have the possibility of marriage, but the Torah said the particular marriage between you and this woman cannot exist. So she's an erva. So if she's an erva, it cannot exist because you can't marry her. So maybe that's what it's excluding. How do you know it's excluding the possibility? Maybe it's excluding the possibility of kedushin, which the Torah is going to say is osur not tofes. Or maybe it's talking about chai ve'lavim. And maybe even chai ve'lavim are excluded from here. Maybe kedushin isn't even tofes or chai ve'lavim. I don't know. So let's take each step instead of going all the way to the extreme. So remember, here are the steps. The difference between the eshet avicha is she has to be married. That's one extreme. Well, can't mean that because of Rava. Okay, so then it means that she has a right to be married. Or it means it's possible for you to be married. Chorus. Lav. Impossibility of marriage. That's the final step, and that's the shivcha or the akor. So we're trying to figure out which one of these is correct. So therefore, instead of going to that extreme, why don't we say that it's prat l'chai ve'lavim? No, says Rav Papa, because Chai Ve'lavim, we know that Kedusha is Tofes with Chai Ve'lavim. And here comes another beautiful little trick of the Gemara, which because we've been talking about the relationship of marriage in what context? The relationship to the creation of Erva, the relationship in terms of defining who's included in Yibum, and the relationship in terms of Yerusha, right? Okay, let's take a closer look at the Yerusha problem, and now we're going to see something that is going to reflect on this problem. Doesn't the Torah say, when it comes to Yerusha, rather strange halacha, that a person who doesn't like his child and doesn't want him to be a bechor, doesn't like the wife that gave birth to that child, that prefers a wife's child who is not really his bechor, but still he wants to make him his bechor. So the Torah goes through this whole rigmarole of explaining that you can't do that. Lo yachol levaker et ben hasnu'ah pe'bnen ahuvah pe'nei ben hasnu'ah, and you can't do that, right? Now, it says over there in introducing the situation, it says, ki tihiyena le'ish tei nashim, ha'achat ahuvah v'ha'achat sinu'ah. So what does that mean? One of them is beloved, one of them is hated. That's irrelevant. What do I care? Love and hate? That's a personal issue. I mean, unless you're trying to say one of them is actually objectively hated and one of them is objectively loved. I mean, what would that mean? So when you take a look at the pasuk, it strikes you that why would the Torah refer to love or hate? I mean, this is irrelevant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the local issues are between you and this woman. Therefore, it's got to refer to something real, and what it's talking about is ahuva in the context of the marriage is ahuv. Sinu'ah in the context of the marriage. And the Torah said, even though I hate this marriage, because I said you're not allowed to be married under these circumstances, nonetheless, it would still be kiti hiena. And remember that the language of kiti hiena means that there exists, this is the ultimate existential word, kiti hiena. There exists a connection between the two of you, which is defined by the Torah as tfisas kedushin. So, you cannot possibly exclude entirely this idea that it would be a chai ve'lavim. Now, I just want to point out the amazing implications of this. Because when you say, why would it matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what the particular relationships are between you? Why wouldn't it? Isn't that what it's coming to tell you? That your relationship to the child, which I certainly would I not have thought that the question of Bechorah has to do with the psychological relationship between the father and the son. Does it say ki hu reshit ono? Isn't it yakir, b'chor ben asnua yakir? I mean, why wouldn't the Torah be talking about if the man hates her, And you would think that that was a good enough reason for him to say, I want to leave my property to some other child that is coming on to me a big kiddush, that you can't do that. I mean, so why does the Gemara jump to this question? Who the heck said it was lifnei amakom? We're only talking about this guy's personal psychology. So what's the big deal? You see from here an absolutely amazing thing. And that is, and this is one of the shockers in terms of the violation of our preconceived notions from, again, being born into an ace of society and assuming their values, we assume that inheritance has something to do with you. Because that's what the West assumes. This is my money, I earned this money, and I don't want this little mumser to have it. No, but that's not the fact. It's not your money. It was given to you to use while you're alive as the particular vector of the genes that have this money. And the next vector of those genes is the one who gets it. And that's why it says, ki hu reshit ono. Is this the first own? This is the first sexual product you have? Then it's your genealogy. We couldn't care less what you think about it. That's irrelevant to us. I'm the one who makes the decision, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, why are we talking about your liking, your not liking? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. So therefore, it's an amazing thing, right? I mean, obviously, on the simple meaning, that's what it's saying. But the Gemara is saying, but nonetheless, you need to darshan the pasuk in a way that makes sense, ultimately. And that would have to be Ahuva b'nisueha. I mean, think of the implications of such a thing. Think of the different way to look at everything in your life and everything that you achieve and everything that you have in terms of Esav, it's mine, mine, mine. Yeshli Rav. In terms of Klal Yisrael, Yeshli Kol. I have whatever I need. It's not up to me to define the coming generations. Their needs will be taken care of. Incredible. Anyway, so what this means is nonetheless that ki tihiena, ki tihiena means there exists a state of, over that state of kedushan, of ishus, shtei nashim. Okay, fine. So then I understand. But why do you say it means that there needs to exist an ability to marry? Maybe it means there needs to exist an ability to marry for this individual so that if she is chayve kritut, and Kedushin is not going to be Tefes on a Chai of Kritut, so then she would not be called your sister. Maybe that's what it means. So Ve'ema Prat V'Chai Ve'Kritut. Omar Rava, because the Pasuk makes it very clear that we don't care. It says, Ervat Achotecha Bat Avicha O Bat Imecha Moledet Bayit O Moledet Chutz. What does Moledet Bayit O Moledet Chutz means? Whether she's in the house or out of the house. What? What that must mean is, Bein shomrim lo lavicha kayem, Bein shomrim lo lavicha hotzei. Whether we tell your father, will you get that woman out of the house, she ain't your wife, or whether we tell him you can have her in the house because she is your wife. So therefore it's saying beferish, that even though this woman you have no kedushin with, nonetheless, she is considered to be not wife, but his legitimate source of defining an achot. So therefore, it can't be coming to exclude that. Okay, so beferish, in the context of achot, it says even if there's no kiddushin. So therefore, it's got to refer to the case of where there's no possibility of kiddushin. Wait a minute. I mean, once you're telling me that, whether we'd say get that woman out of the house or not, so then why wouldn't that include the goya? So whether we tell your father, get her out of the house because she's not Jewish, or whether we tell her, whatever, right? No, what do you mean? It can't mean that. I mean, let's see it inside. Ema ben shom alavicha kayem ben shom alavicha etzei achotcha il rabat achoto b'shivcha v'ovedet kochavim. It can't mean that, says Rabbi Yossi B'Yehuda, because we just said bat eshet avicha. Mi sheyesh lo yishut lavicha ba. Wait a minute, so now you're running around in circles. If I want to do this, you tell me, well, it says the other. I mean, how do you know which pasuk is which? On the one hand, the Torah is saying, I don't care if he's got to get her out of the house or not. And on the other end, you say, but he's got to be able to marry her. And you're telling me, I'll tell you which one is which. The one he's got to get out of the house, that's talking about chorus. And the one that he's got to have the possibility, that's talking about the Ovedes Kochovim. I don't know. Maybe it's the other way around. Umara Ita. Well, I mean, look, it doesn't make sense to anybody. Will tell you why. Chayve Krisus at least have a possibility of marriage to someone. Masha Enke in the Isser of Ovedes Kochovim has no shaykhus to the concept of Kiddushin at all. Isn't that more fundamental and therefore less likely to be included in the Pasuk of Bein Shomrim Lavich Haitzei? L'chora, no, no. I'll tell you, actually, Adarab, I'll give you the opposite svara. Look, you want to marry a shifcha, you fall in love with a shifcha, you fall in love with a goya. Must you forget your dreams? No. You can marry her. All you got to do is make sure she becomes a Jew, right? You could be Meshachrer the Shifcha. You could go ahead and you could persuade this girl. She wants to be Jewish. People do this all the time. So if that's the case, you can marry that girl. At least theoretically. But the Isser Koris, what are you going to do about that? There's no way to marry that girl. So maybe she's the one that is a bigger existential problem in defining the key, the idea over here of the relationship that creates the achot. So I don't understand. How do you explain to me that you know that it's got to be talking about Dafka, not from the Goya? Because otherwise, I could say Shivcha Lavedes Kochavim is more likely to be included as your sister, because at least he would even be able to marry herself if he's Begayer her. So, Ki Megayer Lididei Nami Tafsi Bekadushan, right? Says the Gemara. No, wrong. Because you're fantasizing about this girl, you're going to rapidly find out that when she became Jewish, she ain't the same girl. Oh, how true. Anyway, but so since she is Kekot and Shanelad, right? So therefore, she's not the girl you were fantasizing about, and you can never marry that girl. So kiss it all. No, don't kiss it all goodbye. Just say goodbye, and that'll be the end of it, right? Okay, so therefore, it works out that she's Gufa Kimagaira Gufa Achrine. She's like a different person. Okay. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda does with that pasuk. Now, according to the Rabbanan, how do we know that, in fact, if she comes from a shifcha, Ovedet Kochavim, since they use the pasuk to tell me that there's an additional lav of an achot who is the one for the achot who's your wife's daughter and one from an achot who's an illegitimate daughter. So how do they know that a daughter from a shifcha, Ovedet Kochavim, is not included? So they learn it out. They learn it out from Ha'isha ve'yiladeha ti'yela adoneha. So over there, obviously, if it was really the daughter of the Jew who here impregnated the Shivcha, which is his Eved Ivri, what do you mean? You can't take away his kids. Ti'yela adoneha. It's not a piece of property. You see from there that it's not his daughter, or not his child. I shouldn't say daughter. We're talking about any sex of a child. Okay, so that would be the raya. And this comes to tell me, and according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, why can't we learn it from there? And then we're going back to, so what does he do with the idea of bat eshet avicha? He says, because I need one pasuk about a shivcha, like you just brought, and one pasuk for an ovedet kochavim, because look, I need both, shivcha. Suppose the Torah would have told me a shivcha is considered not to be a mother for your achot. That's mishum de'en lachias. It's because a shivcha does not have any genealogy, lahalacha, but an ovedet kochavim certainly has genealogy, because we find always that the Torah counts the father to Ovdei Kochavim, like the Gemara learns out from Psukim, from Baladan ben Baladan, where we see that he's considered Hadad Rimon ben Tav Rimon. So why are we talking about the Yichus of a guy? Because he has Yichus, exactly. That's the point. But Shimcha doesn't have Yichus. I need, therefore, the Pasuk for Ovedes Kochavim too. And that's the idea, Omar Kra. So that's why it's coming to tell me, bat eshet avicha specifically. That would be the way I see it, because she does have chiyas. On the other hand, suppose we would only know this pasuk about Eshet Avicha, and then I would know that the Ovedet Kochavim, I would say, okay, because she's not Jewish at all. She's completely a Goya. She has no mitzvahs, but the Shivcha is partially Jewish because she's Chayevet in mitzvot, the same way an Eved is Chayev in mitzvot. So Eva Lo, maybe she's not excluded, so I need these two psukim. Now, the Rabbanan we have been able to prove that the daughter of the Shivcha is not considered to be your sister, but how do they know that the daughter of an Ovedet Kochavim is not considered to be your sister? Minolahu. Now, if you try to tell me, well, I mean, it's the same as a Shivcha, that's not true. I just explained to you why we couldn't learn one out from the other. We have the chiyas issue to deal with, or we have the chiyah b'mitzvahs to deal with. So you can't learn out one from the other. So now we're coming back and turning to you, Rabbanan, and telling us, how do you know? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this is a pasuk that we've discussed recently and many times. Om Akra ki yasir et bincha me'achorai. And that means, Dafka, the son-in-law that you take that is a goy is going to turn your child, meaning your grandchild, away from me. It doesn't say ki tasir. It doesn't say that if you give your daughter get him a goyish wife, that she will turn aside your grandchild. Why is that? So therefore, it's coming to tell me, bincham Yisraelit, your son, if she comes from a Jew, is called a son. But Bincha Bamin Avedet Kochavim is not called your son. It's called her son. And therefore, why would we say she's turning him away? He's not Jewish. She's not turning him away at all. This has nothing to do with you. Omer Avina, which means, I mean, even though here it's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai talks about it in terms of the, and this Reb Yochanan we keep quoting, but it's really ultimately a drush Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But this means, even though he said it in context of yourself, you go ahead and you take a goyish woman, then the offspring is not considered to be your offspring. But then that would be because you're talking about over there, we're talking about where one of the partners is not Jewish. But the implications of this is the bincha. From here we see that Ben Bitcha, Haba Mina Ovid Kochavim, is still Korui Bincha. Even though it's not your own over there, both of them came from that marriage to a non-Jew, except that one is the daughter and the other one is a guy from the Shuk. But nonetheless, it's called your son because she's going to be turning aside a grandson. So that means that the grandson is Jewish. That's the point. So from there you see that it's your son. Now, does that mean that Ravina holds that Oved Kochavim, the Eved Abba, Bat Yisrael, Havlat Kasher? Now, it's interesting because there's an entirely different girsa over here, which is not that the Vlad Kasher, but that the Vlad is Mamzer. So how does either of that follow? So the question is this. If what Ravina is saying is that in the event that the father of this child, of your grandchild, was non-Jewish, that nonetheless, the child is Jewish. So then if the child is Jewish, then where is the element of the goy expressed in the child? Since he's Jewish, a Jew can be a mamzer. A goy can't be a mamzer. So then maybe he would hold that it's a mamzer. That would be the way to have. And the fact is that elsewhere, when we bring this, so Gestosis points out, we do say that it should be a mamzer, not it shouldn't be a mamzer. Here we're talking about that according to Ravina, what Ravina seems to be saying is that there is a state of Yisrael that is kosher on this Yisrael. So then that would mean that it would be kosher even to a kahuna. No, need a mamzer lohavi doesn't mean it's necessarily kosher. Kosher nami lohavi. It could be that the child would be called a Yisrael who was posel, so that there's something pagum about the Vlad. Now, what that posel means is big machlokas. We spoke about this earlier. So, I mean, we'll see, and this is with the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that this would mean posel, literally posel a kahuna. And there's a machlokas, whether it means that's a machlokas. Now, whether the bat is posel a kahuna only, or even if you have dorot, so it's your son. Your son had a daughter, and that would also be possible. Kuhuna. Lamaisa, The later Peskin Paskin that a grandchild is not Pasala Kuhuna, but that the daughter is Pasala Kuhuna. However, there are many that say she's not even Pasala Kuhuna, including the Rif, the Ramban, not Pasala Kuhuna. And when we say Yisrael Pasal Mikre, we mean that it's like a pagam in Yuchasim. Now, the biggest Chiddush is those who hold, and Tosfos says this in a number of places, that the child requires tefillah in the mikveh l'shem geirut. Now, that seems crazy. I mean, if you're telling me that it's Yisrael, a chol dover, and that there's chiyuv in all of the mitzvahs and so on, what would it mean to say that there's a need to be tevil l'shem geirut? I mean, is he Jewish or isn't he Jewish? So, I mean, what we have no choice, as the Achronim explained, but to say is that the two issues of Akum are not related. One issue is that a goy was ever mitzvah in mitzvahs. This person was mitzvah in mitzvahs. There's another din, which is that he cannot marry into Kal Hashem. They're not interrelated. So if we have the yichus of the av that is still there as a goy, then for that we need tefillah. And that completes the knisa l'kahal. And it's the same thing, basically, as the Achronim point out, that we find that a goy, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, is going to have to bring a carbon, even if it was Mizgayer. Koshken was Mizgayer then, but even if it was Mizgayer before, he owes a carbon. So at that point, he's not going to be allowed into the Kahal until he brings his carbon. So over here, it's the same thing. What does that mean? I understand the guy's Jewish, completely is keeping mitzvahs the past 50 years. What does he mean? He has to suddenly bring a carbon to become a Jew? That's absurd. No, it's not. There's two completely different issues. So the hashalama of the Geras, there's a concept of bringing a carbon. So maybe over here, the hashalama of this child's becoming completely Jewish, Yisrael Pasul means literally Pasul, according to these, that it's Pasul Lavo Bikahal. Ramesha Paskin about this, he didn't understand it that way. And he Paskin that even those we've shown him who require tefillah, he understood it to mean that they require tefillah because it's a din of a goy. He doesn't explain legabe, I mean, how that works. But he says that's only in the event, even those Rishonim would say that, they only said that where the mother had become a Christian. So she had become, she had changed, she was a mumeret anyway. So over there, the question is whether we have to worry about the bringing him into the tzibor. That's how Ramesh understood it, so that's how. But he said that enochinami in situations like that, which unfortunately are common enough, that there is a need for tefillah. And, I mean, I actually was Megayer, someone like that. So that I got the Rav HaRashi to go along. What was it at the time? Ramesh Revilio. Who?
Yeah, it was Mordechai Eliyahu,
sorry. Yeah, so Mordechai Eliyahu backed me up, and I went specifically to do that, even though there was like a kula legate waiting the requisite 3 months and stuff like that. But because of the fact that Iker Adin, you wouldn't have really needed it. So I did that with his blessing. Okay. So that's a chumra according to those shitas that consider there to be a need for tefillah there.
Rabbi, just a comment, not for detail now. But we've been having this discussion about genetics and memetics. You have the Rambam about Zeri Yisrael. Don't we see from this that mitzvos, nechiva mitzvos, is one of the factors in terms of do you belong or not? Isn't that what this implies here?
Yes, and because of that, there's also nafkamina in this machlokas l'gabe giving bris mila specifically is a doich haShabbos. Well, if we paskin that he's completely Jewish, so then he'll be doich haShabbos. That's the way the Achiezer paskins. But the question is, according to the others, maybe indeed, because of what you're saying, it wouldn't be Derech HaShabbos. Again, it's a little bit beyond our discussion, but yes, you're right in recognizing that it has implications across the board, particularly in terms of the Rambam's description of Mila and so on. Okay, but now, so getting back to this. So all of this obviously is kosher to this entire idea of Yibum and Zera and whether we want this child, or whether this is called Akomas Hamez, and the idea of the Bechera even, and Yerusha, as we saw, all of these issues, Eidus, Yerusha, Arayas, Yibum, are very profoundly interrelated in defining what the Torah considers to be the concept of the genetics that it recognizes. Anyway, so getting on with the sugya over here. So posol mikra. Ask the Gemara, but I don't understand. The Ki Asirat bin Chamei Acharai is actually referring to the Shiva Amamim. So how do you know that it applies to all Goyim? You're saying any Goy from anywhere in the world, the halacha is that if it's the daughter of the Goy, then it's not your child. But if it is, if it's the son of the Goy, then it's still your child if it's a girl. I mean, maybe that's only the Shiva Umais. Maybe we're not as machmer with other Goyim, and maybe both would be considered to be Jewish. No. Because it says, ki yasir, l'rabot kol ha-meisirin, that since any other religion that are coming from a different culture are going to be meisir, so therefore, if the Torah gives this as the reason, why does the Torah give a reason? It's to tell me that the problem is anything that will be yasir. Oh, wait a minute. That's not true. It's only true if you assume that if it wouldn't have said ki yasir, then I would have assumed that it's referring to the problem of Hasara all on my own. And therefore, if it hadn't said anything, it would have meant the Shiva Amamim. Now, this is a very important machlokas. Remember, do we have a right to use what appears to be reasonable as an explanation of a pasuk? So when if the pasuk hadn't said ki yasir, it just would have said that bitcha lo titein livno. Let's say that's all it would have said. Would I not have figured out on my own? Well, obviously, I mean, what's going to happen to the poor grandchildren? They're going to go to church. They're going to have a Christmas tree in the Hanukkah menorah. I mean, you know, of course, everybody says that. So any fool can tell you that, right? So then you ask yourself, if you have a right to do that. Now, there is a shita that holds us a right to do that. What shita is that? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's shita is darshinan taima dekra. You have a right to actually explain what the Torah means, and therefore, if it doesn't apply in a particular case, you could say the Torah didn't include this case, because obviously it's only because of the fact that you're worried about the religion, right? That's what you would say. Okay, so then what would happen, according to Rabbi Shimon, in the event that you're living in a modern free society, which everybody is actually atheistic anyway, even they claim to have these silly social things where they put up a Christmas tree. Who the heck cares about a Christmas tree? Come on. I mean, you know that it's all just a ridiculous kind of, I mean, they put a menorah in the window because there's a Jew on the block too. I mean, everything's good, different strokes for different folks. I mean, what's the difference? So then Rabbi Shimon would have said, so then obviously you're allowed to marry a guy, right? Because, I mean, it no longer matters. Nobody's going to be telling you anything because anything goes anyway. So what's the difference? Therefore, comes along the pasuk to tell me, according to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says, what do you got to tell me, ki yasir? I know that that's why. Oh, so if you tell me ki yasir, according to Rabbi Shimon, so then the ki yasir must be coming now to teach me something, right? So he would say, I would have known it on my own. Therefore, it's coming to tell me, even anybody who's yasir, even, and this is based on the Gemara in Chulin, even people who live in New York, and they don't have any beliefs in anything. How do I know that? Because the Gemara says in Chulin that all of these goyim who live in New York and worship Avodah Zarah, they're not really worshiping Avodah Zarah. It's all this social shtuyot. They don't know what they're doing, and it's minig avoteim b'yameihem, minig avoteim b'yadeihem. And therefore, they are not really worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Shimon, on his own, would have figured that out, right? Only Goyim and Eretz Yisrael are real Goyim. That's why it includes only the Shiva Amamim, because everything makes a difference in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so if that's the case, comes along the pasuk ki yasir, and Rabbi Shimon says, gosh, it must be telling you that even like far-fetched yasir, like the problem of a Christmas tree, that's a problem. I guess so, the Torah said ki yasir. right? But if you are like the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan do not agree that you have a right to explain a pasuk. The pasuk said, don't give your daughter to a guy. What are you coming up with all kinds of logic for? Next thing you'll tell me is that pork bezman hazeh is kosher, because now it's healthy. I don't go for that kind. Okay, so that's like sort of the standard response to that kind of thing. So then it has to say ki yasir to tell me just the opposite. I'm only telling you not to marry because we're talking about the type of relationship that is going to end up messing up your grandchild. But if you live on the west side, nobody gives a hang. Let go marry a guy. What's the difference? So according to the Rabbanan, it would be telling me the exact opposite. Therefore, says the Gemara, it's all very nice if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who's Dorish Taima Dekra, so then you can tell me that this is coming to include other Meisirin. But according to the Rabbanan, it should be just the opposite. So Minalu. Well, we'll have to say, Mantana de Polygon Dor Biesib Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon hi, Eino Chinami. There's no choice but to say that since we're taking this from for granted, that somebody's arguing with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, and basically is telling me that you need a pasuk to tell me that it's not considered to be your sister, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he has this extra pasuk from Achotcha, but Eshet Avicha to tell me that, that's exactly because of this difference. So the Rabbanan who are arguing with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who is Dorish Taima Dekra. And now it is the amazing moment where we get to hear from our Kapitan. Now, let's imagine this amazing case over here. A guy goes ahead and he sends Kedushin to one of two sisters. Brilliant thing to do. So, he doesn't know which sister. At least that's what we think. So what happened is, you know, these two spinsters who have been living, for a while, never get to see any men, you know. So they appoint a shliach. Go out and get us married. Accept Kedushin from whoever's ready to marry us. Here's our pictures, and let a guy give you a Kedushin. So this guy says, he meets a likely-looking idiot, and says, how would you like to marry? I've got a couple of spinsters. And instead of showing the pictures, the guy says, oh, I was always looking for somebody to be dumb enough to marry me. Here, have a pruta, and I'll marry one. Okay, says the shliach. Excellent. One down. Which one? Too late now. You can't say which one. Oh, my God. What a mess. So now you can't marry either one because you don't know which one you're married to. And if you take the other one, it might be the sister of your wife. So you're a little bit in trouble. So Eino Yodea Izemeyem Kideh. She doesn't know which one is his wife. So the only thing he can do is give a get to both of these women because he's not allowed to sleep with either of them because it might be the other one. Now, suppose he died before he managed to give them a get. Oh, my God. And he's got a brother. Things get really interesting over here. So what is the brother supposed to do? Well, the brother doesn't know which one is the real wife. So he has to do chalitza to both of them in order to pater them. But he can't do anything else because he can't take one b'yibum, because if, let's say, he first takes one b'yibum and does chalitza with the other one might be the real zakuka. And then if he married her sister before giving the chalitza, then he would be marrying the achot zakukato. So what's he supposed to do? The only thing that he can possibly do is to give chalitza to both of them. So he's sort of stuck. Suppose, however, if he has two brothers, Hayulo Shnai. So then what you do is one gives chalitza to one, and then if you give chalitza to one, so then afterwards one could be miyabem, because Mermanavshach, if this is the real wife, I'm being miyabem, the real wife. If this is the sister of the wife, she's no longer achot zekukati, because my brother went ahead and did chalitza with her. So I'm fine. So either way, I could go ahead. So as long as first you do it that way. So one does chalitza, and the other one can be miyabem. if the guy first did chalitza. How about if both of them go ahead and marry? Ein motzi'in mi'adam. We still are not going to take them out. They're allowed to remain married because each one of them can claim, I married the right girl. And even if I didn't, what was the problem? She was achot zekukati, but she isn't achot zekukati anymore, is she? Because my brother went ahead and he gave chalitza. So even though, you're right, I was a bad boy, and I shouldn't have done yibum before he did chalitza, and he shouldn't have done yibum before I did chalitza, but we both sort of jumped the gun. But now everything's okay, because there's no longer nitzar v'achot zekuka, because there's no zika any longer. So in achinami, we will not be motzi miyadam. Now, how about if you have two people who meet the shliach, right? And they say, oh, I'll take one. Great. And now we've got two people that are married to two sisters, these spinsters. Neither of them knows which one he married. Zeinu yodea ma kidesh, v'zeinu yodea ez kidesh. So now we have two people, each one of which needs to give two gitim. Zeinu ten shnei gitim, v'zeinu ten shnei gitim. How else are we going to be able to matter these women? How about if they die before giving those divorces, and one of them has a brother, and the other one has a brother, so lezeach v'lezeach, so one does chalitza to both, and one does chalitza to both, because in this, we've got a problem, because you might have the problem of achot zekukato, and you might even be taking the woman who is a Yavama, not your Yavama. And then you would be over on Yavama Lashuk. Okay, now, suppose we have a situation like this. This was talking about where each of them has a single brother. How about if Lezeh Echad v'Lezeh Shnayim, one of these guys has one brother, and one of these guys has got two brothers. So then the one brother, he has no options. He has to do chalitza to both of them. But the guy who had two brothers, one of them can first do chalitza, and then the other one can be miyabim. Why? Because if the one brother did chalitza to both first, so she's not a yavama l'shuk, so we've taken care of that. And if his brother has done chalitza first, so now when he's miyabim, this woman, he says, look, she's not a yavama l'shuk, so what is your problem? She's maybe achot zekukati? No, she's not. Because my brother had given chalitza. She's not achot chalutzati, because I didn't give chalitza. If he had tried to marry her, he would have a problem, because maybe she's achot chalutzato, even if she isn't achot zekukato, but she sure ain't my chalitzato. So as long as the first guy took care of the yibum issue of Yavama Lashuk, and my other brother, the guy who died leaving two brothers, my other brother took care of the zika by giving chalitza, so I got no problem. So now I can marry this woman. Either she really is a Yavama, or she is the other guy's Yavama, but now she's no longer a Yavama because she got chalitza, or she's my actual achot chalutza of my brother, which is not osur on me. So thank you very much. See you all later, alligator. How about in this case, if they went ahead and married in the wrong order, they went and were miyabim and didn't do chalitza first? Kodmu v'kansu, same thing. Ein motzi miyada. How about if both of these guys has two brothers? So lezer shnayim v'lezer shnayim. Okay. So then one of, let's say the first guy, achiv shalzeh, does chalitza to one, and the achiv of the other one does chalitza to the other. And then one, the second brother of A can be miyabim, the one who got chalutza from B, and the second brother of B can be miyabim, the one who got chalutza from A. Because this way, the chalitza removed any problem of Yavama Lashuk, and the chalitza of his brother removed any problem of achot zekukato. And therefore, he's basically in the same situation. So it isn't as bad as it looks. It's a little complicated. You certainly wouldn't want to die before giving that get, but in case, you know, there's always an etza. Anyway, how about kodmu shnei v'chotzu? So then, if the two go ahead and they end up, and they did the chalitza. So in that event, so then lo yibmu hashnayim, the remaining two cannot do yibum either, because you still would have to do echad choleitz to take off the problem of the possibility of echad skugato, even if the first ones went ahead and took him b'yibam. Echad choleitz v'echad b'yabe. But if kadmu v'kansu, ein motzin miyadam. Wait a minute over here. Is this called a marriage that is going to create a situation of yibum? Isn't there a big machlokas about whether kedushin she'enan misurin leviyah? You give kedushin to a woman in a fashion that guarantees that you'll never be able to sleep with her. That's sort of anti-kedushin, isn't it? I mean, you gave the kedushin to the two sisters, and that guarantees that now you can't sleep with either of them. If you hadn't given kedushin, you could have had anything you wanted, but now you did it all wrong. But that's called kedushin she'enan misurin leviyah. Isn't the whole point of kedushin is that it's a step towards the ability to live as man and wife? I mean, if it's a step away from it, that's a big machlokas. And the question over here seems to be that we're talking about exactly that case. And the Mishnah is saying you do, in fact, view that as kedushin, and you do have to worry about a get, and you do have to worry about yibum. So why don't we bring that up in the big machlokas of Abaye v'Rava in kedushin that discusses exactly this case? Nobody thinks that the Mishnah is a raya. How come? Shema mina kedushin, shenem esurin labia is absolutely kedushin. No. Wait a minute. You think the only scenario we can come up with is that the two spinsters created one shliach, blah, blah, blah. That's not what happened. What happened was that the guy did show the pictures, and the guy did choose the woman. And he said, okay, so just write down, I'm taking, this guy, of course, had 493 different pictures of girls that he was showing around trying to make a buck as a shidduch. So this was the original shatran, you know, before they even had telephones. I mean, so he had to carry around the pictures. It was a big problem. Anyway, so the guy says, okay, I want 261. So write it down. Okay, great. The problem is he lost his notebook. So then when the guy comes back, okay, so where's my wife? I lost my notebook. But I remember it was one of those two sisters. Oh, great. All right, so over there, the kedushin at the time that he chose her was a normal kedushin because he knew who he was marrying and then he couldn't remember. So that's not called a kedushin she'enan misurin leviyah. Maybe that's what it's talking about. So it's talking about kishohukru ulabesof nitarvu. We knew which one and then we got mixed up. And if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see that that's the case because daikanami diktoni ve'eno yodea. It doesn't say eno yodua. It isn't known. It says it is currently not known. Eno yodea. He doesn't happen to know. Shema amina. Okay, so I understand what the chiddush is. I mean, it's pretty obvious then. See, before I thought you were telling me a big chiddush in the Mishnah, kedushin she'enan misurin leviyah, and now you're telling me what's kedushin or what's the chiddush? Ma'aka mashmalan? No, the Mishnah is actually not. The part about needing a get is obvious. It's the next piece that's important, that if he died and he has one brother, that he has to be choletz lishtehen, and if he has two brothers, that you could actually do miyibum, but only in this order. First one does chalitza, then the other one does yibum, and this is to come to tell me, because you have to worry about either achot skukato, or you have to worry about being mevato mitzvah yabmim. So dafka michlot father yavume, but don't you dare do yibum first, because then you will be taking achot skukato. Fine. And the next case? The next case is where two people didn't know who their wives were, so I'll make the same deal. Shema mina kedushin she'enan misurin leviyah v'kedushin? No. This case is also talking about where the guy lost his notebook. So kishu ukru lebesof nitarvu, and I'll make the same deal. It's talking about ein yodea. Does it say ein yodua? So you see? Well, I understand. So then what are you teaching me? I'm teaching you that nothing to do with misurin leviyah. I'm teaching you that if they die, both of them die, and one has one brother and one has two brothers, that the yochid is cholitz both, and then the two brothers, one could be cholitz and one could be miyabe. Well, obviously, then you're just repeating the reisha. So now, hainu reisha. Why do I need to repeat the same thing twice, for heaven's sakes? Now you're in trouble. I mean, you get away with that when you first said it, but why now is it any different? I'll tell you why. It's a chiddush. Because over here, one of the two men has one brother. So you might have thought that we should be geyser, that neither of the two brothers of the guy who had two brothers should be able to do Yibum, because if we allow him to do Yibum, so that might mislead the guy who was a single brother into also doing Yibum, and that he can't do. That's the point. And also, it's teaching us you have to do it in that order. First Chalitza, and then Yibum. But you can't do Yibum first in this case before the other guy gives Chalitza, because then you got another problem. Forget about Achotz Kukato. If you don't have the first guy doing it, then you're going to have a Yevam Lashuk. That's the new point. So over here, we're dealing really with a different issue. Okay. Then we had the problem of the case where each of them had two brothers. Okay. What's the Chiddush here? I know, Hachman, is exactly the same thing that we had before. You're adding nothing. Given the first two cases, I know this halacha. Yeah, but you see, in this case, I would have thought that you can do, we should do a gezeira, that nobody should do Yibum, even after the other one does Chalitza. You know why? Because since in this case, we have a whole different situation. In this case, basically, you've got two people that are doing Yibum. So in this case, I would say, look, if we're going to allow Yibum over here, so then they're going to think, listen, we're both being Miyabim. I don't understand. This guy's possible brother, girl's possible, the first guy who dies brother, the second guy dies brother. If we're going to be able to do Yibum, who ever heard of doing Chalitza and Yibum? Never heard of such a thing. So therefore, they would end up saying, well, if we're doing Yibum on both ends, then we shouldn't do the Chalitza at all. So Dilma Miyabim below Chalitza. Therefore, comes along the Mishnah to tell us that we don't have to worry about it. Each one of these groups, of these pairs, can do Chalitza, and each one can then have somebody that does Yibum. So isn't this exactly the Mishnah that we had before, what we've spoken about so many times? That if you have four brothers, two of these brothers are married to two sisters, and the ones who are married to the sisters die. So that's the case that we had, the famous case that we had, where you can't take either because she's achot chalutzato, and neither of them can be mityabem. I don't understand. How come over there neither of them can be mityabem, and over here one of them is able to be mityabem? And according to Rashi, we're also worried about the fact that the Mishnah over there says that if they went ahead and got married, they have to get divorced. And our Mishnah says you don't have to get divorced. And the Gemara says, what a stupid question. Over there, both sisters were married to the brother. So both of them definitely fell to these other two brothers. Not it's a suffix which one is which. They were both 100% achotze kukato. That's an iser forever. That's as if you're married. Over here, you're worried. Maybe it's achotze kukato. So if you do chalitza, you take away that worry. Over here, there's nothing you can do. It's iser forever. What a silly question. So either you got the problem over there of yesh zika, so then it's because yesh zika. If it's because you hold that not because of zika, because Zika would be Kiknusa, so then it wouldn't be Achotz Kukato. Fine, so then you have the other problem. Rabbi Meir said, Oser Levato Mitzvah Yabin, we're worried if you go ahead and do Yibum, what happens if you die, and then the other woman is never going to be able to get either Yibum or Chalitza, because you're not allowed to do that. So if that's the case here, only one of them is the real one. So kol chad v'chad, emor dideka, misramile. Each one is able to say, I think I married the woman that I should have married in the first place. And if not, there's currently no iser. And therefore, there is no problem. Kodmu v'konsu, and if they went in and got married, they do not need to get divorced. Tani Shilo, I don't care if both brothers are kosher kohanim. Obviously, they're both kohanim, if one is kohanim. But even if they're kosher kohanim, and there's no problem of chalalut, nonetheless, they can go ahead and get married. What? Says the Gemara. Isn't she a chalutza? Because you said you can only do this. One of them has to be chalutza, so it's going to be an iser, but a kohen's not allowed to marry a chalutza. So why did Sheila say that even if they're Kohanim, you could keep them? Because Chalutza is the Rabbanan. And Sofik Chalutza, the Rabbanan, were never Gozer. Chalutza is only the Rabbanan. I thought Chalutza is from a Pasuk. V'atanya, doesn't it say in the Pasuk, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu? And we said over there in the Braita, Ein li'ela grusha. How do we know a Kohen is not even allowed to marry a Chalutza? Talmud lomar, V'isha grusha. To add even a Chalutza? So you see it's an Isser d'Oraisa? No. it's a drabonan, and the posik is an asmachta bi'alma. But the concept of gerusha, of chalutza, does not exist midiraisa.